Welcome to That's Showbiz, Baby. I'm Geordie Lucas, founder and editor of It's All Her and an actress in a previous life.
And I'm Alexandria Fennell, former producer of some of Australia's most iconic TV shows.
From reality TV to soaps and everything in between, join us as we take a hilarious and unfiltered look at the scandals, absurdities and unforgettable moments from behind the scenes of Australian TV.
Because when it comes to the world of television, truth is often stranger than fiction.
It ain't always pretty and it ain't always fair, but
that's showbiz, baby! Oh my God.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of That's Showbiz, Baby.
That's Showbiz, Baby.
I am here with producer Alex. Alex, I'm so excited to be doing this with you.
Finally.
I know. So for anybody who follows myself personally will know that I am a massive fiend for pop culture, reality TV, TV in general, and It's All Her is all about creating no BS media. For women, and I put a call out a while ago.
It was years. Yeah. It was a couple of years.
Yeah, to see if anybody was involved in that space that wanted to perhaps work together in a podcast capacity, and you weren't ready to
do it.
To do it yet.
No.
But you are now.
I am now. So I think at the time you were, it was that really controversial season of Maths, I think, and you wanted to really hear the inside scoop. Mm-hmm. And you put a call out and you were like, is anybody there that I can talk to? I'd love to speak to a post producer in reality. And I saw that and I was like, well, I'm a post producer in reality. I know what you want. And I did message you. But I was like, I absolutely cannot be talking about anything. Mm-hmm. Now that I've left reality, I feel like I've got more space to be able to chat about things. So I got in contact with you recently and mm-hmm. was like, you know how you wanted to talk about some reality TV juice? I got some juice.
You've got the tea.
I've got the tea. And so, yeah, we just got together and we came up with this idea. That's showbiz, baby.
And you and I have actually known each other for a really long time.
Yeah.
We met on the set of Neighbours.
Neighbours!
A very long time ago.
Yep.
10, 15 years ago now?
I think 12 years ago. Not quite 15. We're not that old. You weren't on it 15 years ago, were you?
What year did you start? 15 years ago, 2009.
2009, okay. Yeah, well, that is a long time ago. So you were on it for a while before I even got there, before I even arrived at Ramsay Street. So I arrived in 2011.
So that was as I was being booted out the door.
Oh my gosh. The culling.
Which is a story.
In itself.
For another episode.
The culling, the mass culling.
The mass culling on Neighbours. What a good time that was. Moving on. So Alex was the social media producer and this was the dawn of social media, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It's so funny the way I became that. I think I didn't even know it was a job until it was a job. Mm. And my dad used to actually say, one day you are going to be doing a job that doesn't even exist yet. And I didn't know what that meant. But I always had an interest in the internet. memes and the internet and chatting online. Yeah. I had my journalism degree, got my foot in the door at Neighbours in post-production, labelling thousands of tapes a week. Literally typing the number, episode 5,301, episode 5,302. Somebody had to do that.
Yeah.
It was back in the day when we delivered the tapes to the UK, to Ireland, New Zealand, and my literal foot in the door was sitting in post-production labelling tapes. And it didn't last long though. It was only a couple of months, and then this role in the emerging digital department came up and they were looking for somebody to just do some quirky behind the scenes social media type stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got the call up. They're like, that quirky blonde girl in the corner, she'd be all right.
Yeah.
But I did actually have to apply, making it sound like it was a lot easier. I actually beat, do you remember Dave Broda, the runner?
Yes.
I beat him for the job because the boss thought
Dave
she could
Brody,
boss
you
me
could
around.
Be sitting here right now. And you could not. Be.
We still talk about that actually, that I beat him.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But yes, that's how we met.
Yeah. And so tell us a bit about your work since working on Neighbours.
Yeah. So after Neighbours, I was there for a few years and then I moved to Dancing with the Stars, which was another Fremantle production, and I was doing social and digital for Dancing with the Stars. And while I was there, I met some Channel 7 and Home and Away people who were looking for digital social media producers, and I did the unthinkable and went to Home and Away, which sounds harmless,
yeah,
but at the time it was controversial and people resented me. The Neighbours crew resented me. It was like an actual
betrayal.
Yes, it was a betrayal. And I was like, well, you know, Erinsborough to Summer Bay, you gotta do one, you gotta do them all. Don't tell me you wouldn't go on Home and Away.
Of course I would.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I moved to Sydney and worked on Home and Away for a while. And then Sunrise was looking for a senior digital social media person. And so I moved over to Sunrise, and that was hectic doing breakfast television and producing all of that content. That was really full on. And then I obviously had enough of Sydney and Sunrise, and just getting up at 5:30 a.m. was really difficult. And I packed up my bags and moved back to Melbourne, got a job field producing and producing a comedy show for Foxtel, then moved over to the project, where I stayed for 4 years through that delightful pandemic era, which was enough to turn me off working in the news and whatever for a long time. And I thought, you know what? I need a break. What can I do next? What's the one thing I haven't done? And I was like, reality. I was like, how hard can it be?
Yeah.
I've done live TV. I've done news. Reality is going to be a walk in the park. So I actually got picked to do a reality TV post-producing, cross-skilling training program. And it was something, I can tell you that much. So I moved on to that and worked on those large-scale reality shows for a few years, and now I find myself here.
As a producer.
Yeah. Just doing marketing and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, also focusing on my own writing my book, and, yeah.
So hearing all of that
combined
with my years of living in America after Neighbours, coming back, starting this media company, we've got some stories to tell.
Do.
And I think we've got a really unique perspective on TV, the making of TV, and perhaps what really goes on behind the scenes and why. And I think that's what we're really interested in exploring in this podcast is talking about, yes, what's happening and what's trending on TV and what's going on, but really let's lift the lid and spill some tea.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people commentating on the media from the outside, but something I think that we have that's quite an interesting perspective is we're from the inside looking out in a way. I do find it interesting. There's obviously a lot of commentating about TV shows and media and whatever, and I always think it's quite funny. People think it's this conglomerate of these planned things that are so, but often, as you said before, it's a lot simpler than that.
And it's not that deep.
It's not that deep. Often it's just someone like me sitting behind a computer being like, yeah, I think that's the good angle. I think that works as a story. I think that is reasonable. And it quickly becomes normalized, doesn't it? So,
and I think something that we could talk about as well is how much it's changed since we met. You know, everything is for clicks now. And if you're not getting the clicks, you're out the door.
I mean, those clicks are the bane of my existence. The clicks. It's like crack.
Yeah.
Like you don't want it, but it's not good for you, but you want it. Once you've had those clicks, you just want it.
And I think that's something that I really struggle with navigating with It's All Her is is getting the clicks, but also not falling into the traps that the media are known for being.
Living for the clicks.
Yeah, but also like clickbait and just misleading headlines that don't paint women in the best light or diet culture, all those kind of things. But at the end of the day,
you need to find a balance because you need to still find something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There still needs to be an interesting angle without it being completely exploitative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fine line. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend I haven't dabbled in all spectrums of it. You know, they train you.
Yeah.
I have a journalist brain. I know that the first thing they teach you in uni is it's not a story if a dog bites a man. It's a story when a man bites a dog.
Yeah.
So the media is always looking for that interesting flip it on its head angle. And unfortunately, the way humans are wired is that, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. We want that. Like, social media is essentially just a modern day Colosseum. Mm-hmm. Now. And so that's why it's hard not to fall into the trap, I suppose. And yeah, as I've said, I've dabbled in it all. If you ask how I sleep at night, still pretty good. But I leave, you know, I leave. Yeah. I do it. I'm like, this is probably not the greatest use of my time. I might move away now.
And we will talk about your choice to walk away
in the future. I always walk away from the shows. Mm. There's only so much you can do in Australian TV, in Australian commercial TV. And I feel like I've done it all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is sort of that line of, is this why I got into TV? Which also makes me think, why did you originally become an actress? Like, what were your, what was, why the fuck would you want to do that?
Truthfully, I wanted to be on Neighbours.
So you peaked so young.
Mm. Oh, I did. I peaked way too young.
Yeah.
And I wanted it too bad. I was too green going into America.
Mm.
Look, it would be really different if I did it now, but I wouldn't change my life in any way.
Yeah.
I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about. I'm pretty happy with the way that I conducted myself. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes to get ahead in this industry, maybe some of the things you have to do are questionable.
Mm-hmm. Casting couch, or is that what you mean?
It's not even to that extreme. It's also just kissing people's asses and putting up with behaviour that you wouldn't normally, but you have to be nice because this person might open a door for you in the future.
It's so normalised.
And I feel like I can sleep at night knowing that I'm happy with the way that I conducted myself.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if I had done some of those things, I would have been more successful. Who knows?
We were talking about that the other day. It's like that dangling nugget of fame is so strong for people that they're willing to do anything for it. And it comes in all shapes and sizes. It comes in reality TV, it comes in social media stars. It's like that carrot is worth sacrificing everything. It's mining your trauma for clicks. It's walking all over people. And unfortunately, that's why the narcissists and sociopaths rise to the top. It's an industry that really does benefit having no empathy or guilt or just an ability to just steal shame. An idea. Yeah, no shame. And that's kind of a sick normalized part of the industry as well, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like the people who are willing to often get to that top tier, there's often something that's gone on. And maybe that's, I don't want to defame every single person that's ever been successful. But if you dug deep, I mean, Puff Daddy. I feel like that's just the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And I've seen it, and it's kind of like, as I was saying the other day, it's a dysfunctional family television, don't you think?
Yeah, totally.
And when you're in it, you keep the family secrets. Often when you're in it, you don't know how dysfunctional it is. You're just, this is how our family is.
Yep.
And it's not until you're a little bit older and a little bit more removed that you look back and you're like, whoa, I still love my family, but that is a bit dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And that is very much the TV world to me. And I do find it interesting. The Me Too movement was obviously huge for showbiz and huge for television, but it only scratched the surface of the actual issues. The Me Too era was great for sexual harassment and everything, but there are so many really unsavory practices that are normalized in the industry, I think, that just go beyond sexual harassment.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what we want to talk about as well, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
At some point.
So that's a bit about us, your hosts of That's Showbiz Baby, this original podcast brought to you by It's All Her. I am so excited. And of course, we want to hear from you, fellow reality TV junkies, fellow pop culture junkies. Bonus points if you are a reality TV producer and want to spill some tea they on the won't. Podcast. Feel free to slide into our DMs. You can hear That's Showbiz Baby on all major podcasting platforms. You can also head to itsallher.com/listen. Hit us up on socials. That's showbizbaby.pod. And we're going to be back in your ears tomorrow giving our very unique perspective on the MAFS finale. We'll be back in your ears tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.